Let us pray as we come to God's word. Father God, we thank you that you are not silent, but you would speak with us, your people, today. And we pray that by the same Holy Spirit that inspired the Bible, that you would come amongst us, show us your ways, and help us to live according to your truth. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Let me begin with a true story. In 1665, in the remote village of Aym in Derbyshire, a bundle of cloth arrived from London. Unfortunately, it contained fleas which carried the bubonic plague, and the village soon became infected. There then followed an extraordinary turn of events. The new vicar, called William Mompesson, was very unpopular in Aym, as he replaced the previous vicar who had been removed for not using the prayer book. It was very unlikely that these two ministers would ever get on. But they did meet, and they devised a plan for the good of the whole community. They agreed that everyone must stay in the village, and it must be enclosed with no one going in or out, and supplies would be sent in from a local landowner. Mompesson promised that he would care for the people and alleviate as much suffering as he could, if the villagers agreed to stay, and in effect put themselves in quarantine to stop the disease spreading. They were choosing their own death to save others. It was a very hot summer that year, and the plague spread rapidly, but the vast majority of villagers kept the cordon around themselves. In his letters, Mompesson described the smell of sadness and death in the air. He also wrote about his wife, who was tending to so many of the dying, contracting the plague while helping others. And she died aged just 27 years old. In just over a year, 260 of the village's inhabitants from no fewer than 76 different families had passed away. That was probably nearly half of the village's population had perished by the time the plague had died out. However, Mompesson knew his actions and the courage of his parishioners had probably saved thousands more people. Now, why do I mention that old story on Remembrance Sunday? Because it is a story that at the very core of it is about self-sacrifice. The giving of ourselves for the sake of others in the midst of an often bleak and painful world. It is wonderful to have the Beavers, Cubs and Scouts with us, all looking very nice and shiny today. And this is an occasion for everyone, Remembrance Sunday, for every generation to come together and to remember those who paid the ultimate price for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country today. As a community, we are grateful. We are thankful. But we must never take it for granted that the next generation will be equally thankful. Each one of us today has a responsibility to remind others. And as memories fade, as grandparents and great-grandparents pass away, it becomes even more urgent to pass the baton on. It is 98 years since the end of World War I, 71 years since the end of World War II. It is 7 years since Harry Patch died, aged 111, the last survivor of the trenches of the First World War. When we talk of self-sacrifice and giving up our lives for the sake of others, we enter into a way of thinking that is very difficult and distasteful for many people. So much of our contemporary culture is built upon the fulfillment and satisfaction of our own wishes and desires, of looking after number one. If we dare to mention suffering for the sake of others, of laying down our life for a greater cause, we're liable to be termed a fundamentalist or a dangerous fanatic. Yet this whole idea of self-giving is at the very core of the Christian faith. It is why the cross is still the symbol of Christianity. It is why we're meeting in this beautiful building today, which is built in the shape of a cross, nave down the center, transepts either side. It is why Holy Communion, the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, call it what you will, is still the central act of worship in Christian churches. For in it we remember Jesus of Nazareth dying on a Roman cross. Not because it was a tragic miscarriage of justice, or being in the wrong place at the wrong time, but because he willingly gave up his perfect life that we could be forgiven and reconciled to God. Our Bible reading from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, on the front page of our blue sheet, spells out exactly why Jesus was willing to pay that ultimate price on our behalf. It's a reading from Romans chapter 8. The Bible does not pull its punches. It says things that are hard and deeply unfashionable. It tells us that we're not naturally friends with God. In fact, we're alienated from him, and there's a great wall of division standing between us. It tells us that we cannot come to God on our own terms. So God has provided a sacrifice of his Son to rescue us from all those things that separate us from God. In and of ourselves, we can do nothing to come to God. In our own strength, we have no hope. But in Christ, it has all been done for us. He takes the sentence that we deserved, and we can go free. He pays the price, so that burden of debt is lifted off us. And this is the great exchange that's the very heart of our Christian faith. In verse 32 of our reading, it tells us, but God gave him up for all of us. And if that is true, that is the ultimate price that God is for us. But Christ's sacrifice also becomes a model for us to follow. His example of love and sacrifice are not just to be read about or thought about, but to be put into practice in our day-to-day lives. Serving others, doing our duty for others, is so embedded in our Western civilization. It is there at the core of our culture. But it is being eroded as Christianity is marginalized and put out of the public sphere. The more we lose sight of the cross of Christ, the more we slip into a culture of greed and self-interest. For centuries, our broadly Christian culture has been nurtured on Jesus' teaching and his example of sacrificial love. It's everywhere in our art, our music, our literature. It is there in the lives of the great social reformers like Wilberforce and Shaftesbury, who dedicated their lives to helping and serving others, all based on explicitly Christian principles. It's there in the great philanthropists who gave of their wealth to found galleries, museums, public spaces, schools and hospitals. Scratched just beneath the surface, and so much of what is good in Britain today has been inspired and motivated by a Christian faith that works for the good of others. Remembrance Sunday is a national reminder to never take our liberty for granted. In every generation, these sacrifices must be brought to our memory. And many of us, I think, sense that we're moving into a time of greater uncertainty and instability in the world. Old certainties seem to be crumbling away, and intolerance and extremism seem to be on the rise. And it's easy to despair, to put our head in the sand and hope it all goes away, or to run to the extremists who seem to offer a different solution. But the Apostle Paul gives us a reminder that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, not even death or life itself. If we are trusting in the Son of God, we have absolute assurance and peace in this world and the next. We started off with a story of self-sacrifice from 17th century England. Let me finish this morning with a story from Poland during World War II. Maximilian Kolb was a Polish priest who was sent to the Auschwitz concentration camp in 1941. One day, a prisoner was thought to have escaped. So according to the rules, 10 men were to be killed as a deterrent against further attempted escapes. One of the selected men, Franciszek Jonaszek, cried out, "My wife, my children, I will never see them again." Maximilian Kolb stood forward and volunteered to take his place. "I am a Catholic priest. Let me take his place. I am old. He has a wife and children." Astounded, the camp commandant asked why another man was intervening. Father Kolb pointed with his hand to the condemned man and repeated, "I am a Catholic priest from Poland. I would like to take his place because he has a wife and children." The substitution was accepted by the commandant, and Kolb was killed. Franciszek Jonaszek, who lived to be 95 years old, later recalled in these words, "I could only thank him with my eyes. I was stunned and could hardly grasp what was going on. The immensity of it. I, the condemned, am to live, and someone else willingly and voluntarily offers his life for me, a stranger. Is this some dream? I was saved, and I owe to him the fact that I could tell you all this." Let us remember today that self-sacrifice is at the center of the Christian faith and of Remembrance Sunday. Let us always remember the names of those who have given their lives and honor their memory. And let us also think about the cross of Jesus Christ, that supreme example of giving up ourselves for others. For that is the place where we know that God is for us, and we can never be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.